这里是美国之音的中文广播，现在就开始今天下午6个小时的中文节目。
各位听众您好，欢迎您收听美国之音在2018年7月17号在美国东岸时间早上5点，也就是北京时间下午5点，我们从首都华盛顿开始的中文广播。首先播报国际新闻。美国总统川普星期一在赫尔辛基与俄罗斯总统普京举行联合记者会时，未能支持美国情报机构有关俄罗斯干预美国选举的结论。来自美国两党的国会议员对此表示震惊和不满。来自威斯康辛州的共和党人众议院议长保罗·瑞安发表声明说，总统必须明白俄罗斯不是我们的盟国，美国必须把精力集中在让俄罗斯承担责任，并让其停止对我们民主的恶毒攻击。经常批评川普的来自亚利桑那州的共和党参议员约翰·麦凯恩说，今天在赫尔辛基的记者会是记忆中一位美国总统最为可耻的表现之一。川普总统的天真、自大及其对专制者的错误的对等和同情所造成的破坏是难以计算的。参议院外交关系委员会主席来自田纳西州的共和党人鲍勃·科克说，川普的言论让美国显得软弱可欺，这对我们国家来说不是一个美好时刻。民主党议员对川普讲话的评价也同样不客气。参议院少数党领袖来自纽约州的查克·舒默在一次记者会上说，总统与普京站在一边，否认美国情报界一致做出的结论，他相信克格勃的话而不认定中情局员工的话。川普总统推文说，就像我今天之前多次说过的一样，我对我们的情报人员有充分信任，但是我还认识到，为了建立更光明的未来，我们不能只关注过去。作为世界上两个最大核大国，我们必须友好相处。一名自称拥护持枪权并代表俄罗斯与美国全国步枪协会发展了密切关系的俄罗斯女性，星期一被指控阴谋渗透美国政治机构，从事俄罗斯对美国施加影响力的活动。29岁的玛利亚·布提娜星期天在华盛顿被美国联邦调查局逮捕。布提娜在她的推特账号上称自己是有权携带武器组织的创始人和理事会理事，她的工作是一名高级俄罗斯政府官员做特别助理。布提娜星期一下午在联邦法庭出庭，面临在美国为俄罗斯政府充当代理人而没有向司法部长注册的指控。法官下令将他收押，星期三开庭审理他取保候审的要求。美国联邦调查局的证词说，布提娜是俄罗斯秘密特工，持学生签证2016年进入美国，到华盛顿居住前曾经几次来美。俄罗斯总统普京否认掌握任何对美国总统川普不利的信息，并称有关俄罗斯干预了美国2016年大选的说法荒谬至极。普京在接受福克斯新闻主播华莱斯的采访中说，干预美国的国内事务，您真相信在俄罗斯有人能影响美国，影响数以百万计美国人的选择？星期一晚上这次采访播放前，俄罗斯总统普京在赫尔辛基与川普举行了外界高度期待的峰会。川普拒绝对华莱士谈论美国联邦特别检察官穆勒起诉十几名俄罗斯官员的问题。华莱士提出给普京总统列有12名俄罗斯军方情报机构官员的起诉书复印件，这些俄罗斯人被控入侵了美国民主党的国会竞选委员会。普京既拒绝起诉俄罗斯人发出评论，也拒绝接受华莱士要提供的文件。欧洲联盟和日本将于星期二在东京签署一项内容广泛的贸易协定。欧盟和日本的贸易协定经过4年谈判后在去年完成，预计2019年正式生效。在美国贸易逐渐威胁升温之际，中国在周一呼吁全球合作反对川普贸易保护主义政策的声音并没有得到响应。以上为您播报的是美国之音的国际新闻。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
各位听众好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程。课程题材以美国的商务实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。
Today's unit is Confirming Plans, Part 5. This program focuses on disagreeing politely.
今天这一课的题目是确认计划第五部分，重点讲解怎样客气地表达不同的意见。
Interview.
电话访谈。Epstein 先生在电话中要告诉我们，他对 Blake 先生的那家公司很满意。不过他的上司 Graham 女士仍然有些不放心。我们先来熟悉两个句子。
Ms. Graham had some doubts.
Graham 女士有些不放心。
I was confident that we would be able to work things out.
我相信我们一定会商量出一个解决的办法。大家应该还记得 work things out 这个短语。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Mr. Mike Epstein. We'll be speaking with Mr. Epstein by phone from his office in San Jose, California. Welcome, Mr. Epstein. On our last program, we spoke with Ms. Graham about your meeting on June 11th.
Yes, we met together after my meeting with Mr. Blake. I was very impressed with Mr. Blake's company, but Ms. Graham had some doubts.
She told us that she was concerned about after-sales service,and about the October deadline.
Yes, she was quite concerned about those issues, and I was confident that we would be able to work things out.
Let's listen to the conversation.
Dialogue.
对话录音。
Mr. Epstein and Ms. Graham are meeting in Ms. Graham's office.
这次对话是在 Graham 女士的办公室进行的。我们先来熟悉一下要用到的几个句子。
As long as it's clear to both of you that it has to be worked out.
只要你们二位都明确这个问题需要双方协商一个办法来解决就行。
I understand your reservations, Shirley, but the technology of their product is really excellent.
Shirley, 我理解你有保留意见，但是他们产品的技术确实非常好。
I think we really have to go ahead with this.
我认为我们的确应该着手进行这项计划。
Now, have you already discussed any of the project with him?
Yes, I had an excellent meeting with him this afternoon.
And did you tell him about my main concerns?
Do you mean the October deadline?
Yes, and the fact that they have no after-sales service in the States.
Yes, I did. And again, I was very impressed with his flexibility.I think that we can work things out with him.
Okay, as long as it's clear to both of you that it has to be worked out, and before October, because that's our deadline.
Well, again, I understand your reservations, Shirley, but again, the technology of their product is really excellent. I think we really have to go ahead with this.
Yes, all right. Well, let's discuss it further tomorrow. All right?
Okay, all right. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
We'll see you around 12 o'clock.
Okay.
Epstein 先生竭力说服 Graham 女士接受国际机器人公司的产品，但是 Graham 女士的态度仍然没有改变。她只是表示愿意明天接着讨论。
Let's discuss it further tomorrow.
我们再仔细听听这段对话。
Now, have you already discussed any of the project with him?
Yes, I had an excellent meeting with him this afternoon.
And did you tell him about my main concerns?
Do you mean the October deadline?
Yes, and the fact that they have no after-sales service in the States.
Yes, I did. And again, I was very impressed with his flexibility. I think that we can work things out with him.
Okay, as long as it's clear to both of you that it has to be worked out, and before October.Because that's our deadline.
Well, again, I understand your reservations, Shirley, but again, the technology of their product is really excellent. I think we really have to go ahead with this.
Yes. All right. Well, let's discuss it further tomorrow. All right?
Okay. All right. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
We'll see you around 12 o'clock.
Okay.
Variations. Listen to these variations.
词句代换。下面请大家注意听老师做的词句代换。
I think that we can work things out with him.
I think we can work with him to find a solution.
As long as it's clear to both of you.
As long as you both understand.
I understand your reservations.
I can see why you don't agree.
I think we really have to go ahead with this.
I really think this is the right thing to do.Interview.
接下来 Elizabeth 继续采访 Epstein 先生。
So Ms. Graham still had doubts about Mr. Blake's ability to meet the deadline.
Yes, she did. I knew she was worried that Mr. Blake's company would not be able to install the robots on time by the October deadline.
But you disagreed.
Yes, I was very impressed by the quality of the industrial robots. I knew that Mr. Blake's company had the best technology.And I saw that Mr. Blake was very flexible. I was sure he could deliver on time.
What about after-sales service?
Again, I felt that we could work out a solution with Mr. Blake.
Thank you very much for being on our show. Your comments have been very interesting.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break.
Epstein 先生对国际机器人公司信心十足。从这几句话我们就可以看出
I knew that Mr. Blake's company had the best technology.
我知道 Blake 先生的公司掌握了最先进的技术。
I was sure he could deliver on time.
我确信他可以按时交货。至于售后服务 Epstein 先生说
I felt that we could work out a solution with Mr. Blake.
我认为我们可以和 Blake 先生找到一个妥善的解决方法。下面我们再听听这段访谈。
So Ms. Graham still had doubts about Mr. Blake's ability to meet the deadline.
Yes, she did. I knew she was worried that Mr. Blake's company would not be able to install the robots on time by the October deadline.
But you disagreed.
Yes, I was very impressed by the quality of the industrial robots. I knew that Mr. Blake's company had the best technology.And I saw that Mr. Blake was very flexible. I was sure he could deliver on time.
What about after-sales service?
Again, I felt that we could work out a solution with Mr. Blake.
Thank you very much for being on our show. Your comments have been very interesting.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break.
Questions. Listen to the question.
问答练习，下面请大家根据前面的访谈内容回答两个问题。第一个问题
What does Mr. Epstein think about the quality of Mr. Blake's robots?
Now, listen to the dialogue.
下面请大家重新听一遍前面的对话，铃响以后说出你的答案。
Okay, as long as it's clear to both of you that it has to be worked out, and before October.Because that's our deadline.
Well, again, I understand your reservations, Shirley. But again, the technology of their product is really excellent. I think we really have to go ahead with this.
What does Mr. Epstein think about the quality of Mr. Blake's robots? He thinks the technology of their product is excellent.
Listen to the question.
下面是第二个问题。
Does Ms. Graham agree to purchase Mr. Blake's robots?
Now, listen to the dialogue.
我们再来听一遍前面的对话，请大家在铃响以后回答。
Well, let's discuss it further tomorrow. All right?
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Does Ms. Graham agree to purchase Mr. Blake's robots? No, she doesn't. She says they will discuss it again tomorrow.
Culture tips.
文化点滴。今天我们要谈的是在美国公司里，在什么情况下下属可以表示反对上司的意见。我们先来熟悉几个词句。
A boss.
上司，老板。
A subordinate.
下属，下级。
An opinion.
观点，意见。
A decision.
决定。
Sometimes I hear American workers arguing with their bosses.
有时候我听到美国公司的雇员和老板辩论。
Good bosses want their subordinates to tell them when they are wrong.
好的上司会鼓励他们的下级及时指出他们的错误。
Hello and welcome again to Culture Tips. Gary Angleton, our business language expert, is here with us again.
Welcome, everybody.
We have an email question about communicating with bosses. The question is, sometimes I hear American workers arguing with their bosses. Is this normal in American companies?
Well, I would say that good bosses encourage their subordinates to disagree with them.
Why is that?
Well, think about it. Let's say that the boss is going to make a new policy. A subordinate feels strongly that the new policy will cause big problems. If the subordinate is right, the boss will look very bad.
I think that I understand. The subordinate can help the boss by keeping him or her from doing something stupid.
Yes, that's it exactly. That's why good bosses want their subordinates to tell them when they are wrong. Of course, the bosses want to hear strong facts and reasons to support the disagreement.
So they only want intelligent disagreement.
Yes, good bosses want to listen to different opinions and then make a decision. But there are limits.
What kind of limits?
Well, after the final decision is made, everyone has to support it, even the people who disagreed with it. If they don't support it, there will be a really bad atmosphere in the office.
So it's okay to disagree before the decision is made, but afterwards you have to be quiet.
Yes.
Well, once again we've learned a lot. Thanks, Gary.
My pleasure.
Intelligent disagreement. 那么和上司有不同意见的人在什么情况下要保持沉默呢？我们再听一遍。
Welcome, everybody.
We have an email question about communicating with bosses. The question is, sometimes I hear American workers arguing with their bosses. Is this normal in American companies?
Well, I would say that good bosses encourage their subordinates to disagree with them.
Why is that?
Well, think about it. Let's say that the boss is going to make a new policy. A subordinate feels strongly that the new policy will cause big problems. If the subordinate is right, the boss will look very bad.
I think that I understand. The subordinate can help the boss by keeping him or her from doing something stupid.
Yes, that's it exactly. That's why good bosses want their subordinates to tell them when they are wrong. Of course, the bosses want to hear strong facts and reasons to support the disagreement.
So they only want intelligent disagreement.
Yes, good bosses want to listen to different opinions and then make a decision. But there are limits.
What kind of limits?
Well, after the final decision is made, everyone has to support it, even the people who disagreed with it. If they don't support it, there will be a really bad atmosphere in the office.
So it's okay to disagree before the decision is made, but afterwards you have to be quiet.
Yes.
Well, once again we've learned a lot. Thanks, Gary.
My pleasure.
So it's okay to disagree before the decision is made, but afterwards you have to be quiet.
这句话的意思是，所以说在决策之前你可以表示反对，但是一旦制定了决策，你就应该保持沉默。
Business dialogue
商务对话。 Henry 在同 Amy 讨论一个项目的进度。下面是对话里的几个词句。
A day off
休息日。
I think we've got to give them a couple of days off
我认为我们必须给他们放两天假。
I can understand your concern, but the project is almost finished
我理解你的担心，但是这个项目已经接近完成。下面请听对话。
Let's listen to today's business dialogue. Henry is talking to Amy about their project schedule.
I'm really worried about the team. They're working so much that they're too tired to think clearly. I think we've got to give them a couple of days off.
I can understand your concern, but the project is almost finished. If we can keep everyone working for 3 or 4 more days, we'll be able to complete it on time.Then they can take a break for a day or two.
I hope you're right, but I don't know if they can keep going for 3 or 4 more days.
Henry, I understand what you're saying, but I think that you're a bit too worried. They're stronger than you think, and they know the importance of this deadline. Let's help them get through it, okay?
Okay, I'll do what I can.
Henry 担心的是工作人员近来工作太辛苦，以致影响了他们头脑清醒的思考问题的能力。
They're working so much that they're too tired to think clearly.
Henry 认为应该让他们休息一下，但是 Amy 担心的是项目能不能按时完成。他觉得应该克服困难，一鼓作气完成项目以后再休息。他认为 Henry 的担心是多余的。
Henry, I understand what you're saying.But I think that you're a bit too worried.
我们再听听他们的对话。
I'm really worried about the team. They're working so much that they're too tired to think clearly. I think we've got to give them a couple of days off.
I can understand your concern, but the project is almost finished. If we can keep everyone working for 3 or 4 more days, we'll be able to complete it on time.Then they can take a break for a day or two.
I hope you're right, but I don't know if they can keep going for 3 or 4 more days.
Henry, I understand what you're saying, but I think that you're a bit too worried. They're stronger than you think, and they know the importance of this deadline. Let's help them get through it, okay?
Okay, I'll do what I can.
Focus on functions. Disagreeing politely.
语言功能。如何礼貌地表达不同的意见。
Now let's focus on disagreeing politely. Here are some expressions which will help you disagree politely.
Listen and repeat.
请大家跟着说。
I can understand your concern, but...I can understand your concern, but the project is almost finished. I hope you're right, but... I hope you're right, but I don't know if they can keep going. I understand what you're saying, but...I understand what you're saying, but I think that you're a bit too worried.
Gary's tips.
Gary 提示。Gary 指出，在美国的商业环境里，人们从来不直接说你错了。在表示不同意见之前，最好先说我明白你的意思，我理解你的关心等等。以示尊重对方的意见。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about how to disagree politely.
In business, it is sometimes necessary to disagree, even with your boss.
When you disagree, it's important to recognize the other person's feeling. In American business or social situations, it is very impolite to say directly, "You're wrong." Instead, you should use expressions for polite disagreement, as we hear in today's business dialogue. It is always a good idea to show that you understand the other person's position. For example, Amy says to Henry that she can understand his concern.
"I'm really worried about the team. They're working so much that they're too tired to think clearly. I think we've got to give them a couple of days off."
"I can understand your concern, but the project is almost finished."
In a similar way, Mr. Epstein shows that he understands Ms. Graham's position.
"Well, again, I understand your reservations, Shirley, but again, the technology of their product is really excellent."
Even if you don't agree with people, you should let them know that you understand their idea. Here is an example from the business dialogue.
"Henry, I understand what you're saying, but I think that you're a bit too worried."
If you want to resolve a disagreement and find the best solution, you want to keep communication open. The best way to do this is to treat the other person with respect. Using the expressions we've discussed today is one way to show this respect for the other person's ideas. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Gary.
从以上的例子我们可以看出，美国人在表达不同意见之前，都要先说很理解对方的顾虑、对方的立场、对方的处境等等。
I can understand your concern.
I understand your reservations, Shirley.
I understand what you're saying.
Gary 指出的很重要的一点是，如果你想解决分歧，找到最佳的解决办法，你就应该使双方的交流保持畅通。这样做的最好途径是以尊重的态度来对待别人。下面我们再听听 Gary 的提示。
Today I'll be talking about how to disagree politely.
In business, it is sometimes necessary to disagree, even with your boss.
When you disagree, it's important to recognize the other person's feeling. In American business or social situations, it is very impolite to say directly, "You're wrong." Instead, you should use expressions for polite disagreement, as we hear in today's business dialogue. It is always a good idea to show that you understand the other person's position. For example, Amy says to Henry that she can understand his concern.
"I'm really worried about the team. They're working so much that they're too tired to think clearly. I think we've got to give them a couple of days off."
"I can understand your concern, but the project is almost finished."
In a similar way, Mr. Epstein shows that he understands Ms. Graham's position.
"Well, again, I understand your reservations, Shirley. But again, the technology of their product is really excellent."
Even if you don't agree with people, you should let them know that you understand their idea. Here is an example from the business dialogue.
"Henry, I understand what you're saying, but I think that you're a bit too worried."
If you want to resolve a disagreement and find the best solution, you want to keep communication open. The best way to do this is to treat the other person with respect. Using the expressions we've discussed today is one way to show this respect for the other person's ideas. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Gary. Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
今天的商务通英语就播讲到这里。谢谢各位收听，我们下次再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
美国之音国际新闻。川普总统星期一在赫尔辛基与俄罗斯总统普京举行联合记者会时，未能支持美国情报机构有关俄罗斯干预美国选举的结论。来自美国两党的国会议员对此表示震惊和不满。来自威斯康星州的共和党人、众议院议长保罗·瑞安发表声明说，总统必须明白俄罗斯不是我们的盟国，美国必须把精力集中在让俄罗斯承担责任，并且让其停止对我们民主的恶毒攻击。经常批评川普的来自亚利桑那州的共和党参议员约翰·麦凯恩说，今天在赫尔辛基的记者会是记忆中一位美国总统最为可耻的表现之一。川普总统的天真、自大以及对专制者错误的对等和同情所造成的破坏是难以计算的。参议院外交关系委员会主席、来自田纳西州的共和党人鲍勃·科克说，川普的言论让美国显得软弱可欺，这对我们国家来说不是一个好时刻。民主党议员对川普讲话的评价也同样不客气。参议院少数党领袖、来自纽约州的查克·舒默在一次记者会上说，总统与普京站在一边，否认美国情报界一致做出的结论，他相信克格勃的话而不是中情局员工的话。一名自称拥护持枪权并代表俄罗斯与美国全国步枪协会发展的密切关系的俄罗斯女性，星期一被指控阴谋渗透美国政治机构，从事俄罗斯对美国施加影响力的活动。29岁的玛利亚·布提纳星期天在华盛顿被美国联邦调查局逮捕。布提纳在他的推特账号上称自己是有权携带武器组织的创始人和理事会理事，他的工作是为一名高级俄罗斯政府官员做特别助理。布提纳星期一下午在联邦法院出庭，面临在美国为俄罗斯政府充当代理人而没有向司法部注册的指控。俄罗斯总统普京否认掌握任何对美国总统川普不利的信息，并称有关俄罗斯干预了美国2016年大选的说法荒谬至极。星期一晚上，在普京总统接受福克斯新闻主播华莱斯的采访中，在播放前，俄罗斯总统普京在赫尔辛基与川普总统举行了外界高度期待的峰会。普京总统拒绝对华莱士谈论美国联邦调查局穆勒起诉十几名俄罗斯官员的问题。华莱士提出给普京总统列出有12名俄罗斯军方情报机构官员的起诉书复印件。华莱士提出的这些说法，这些俄罗斯人被控入侵了美国民主党的国会竞选委员会。民主党全国委员会以及相关前国务卿希拉里·克林顿2016年竞选的电子邮件的服务器也被入侵。普京既拒绝对起诉俄罗斯人发表评论，也拒绝接受华莱士要提供的文件。欧洲联盟和日本将于星期二在东京签署一项内容广泛的贸易协定。这项新协定将对日本出口到欧盟的汽车和电子产品等99%的产品免以欧盟国家出口到日本的奶酪、葡萄酒和猪肉等农产品除关税。据讯，这项新协议还将导致欧盟对日本的化学产品出口大大增加。在美国贸易威胁逐渐升温之际，中国在周一呼吁全球合作反对川普贸易保护主义政策的声音并没有得到响应。欧洲经济和社会委员会主席贾伊尔表示，欧盟虽然反对美国领导人的关税政策，但是不会与中国联合对付美国。分析人士表示，如果中国打算和欧洲国家组建共同阵线的话，那就是缘木求鱼。美国国务院对其认为在尼加拉瓜侵犯人权或破坏民主的人给予更多的赴美签证限制。国务院发言人诺尔特星期一晚上说，尼加拉瓜政府必须立即听从尼加拉瓜人民要求民主改革的呼声。美国谴责当前奥尔特加在全国打压大学生、记者和神职人员的政策。诺尔特说，美国将继续揭露那些为暴力负责的人。美国之音国际新闻。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目，因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。
听众观众朋友们好，欢迎收听收看 VOA 卫视7月16号星期一的时事大家谈，我是许波，我们在美国之音华盛顿演播室为您现场报道。近来中国政坛异象连连，愈演愈烈的习近平威权及个人崇拜受到前所未有的挑战，继梁家河大学问被紧急叫停，党媒和官员反思浮夸自大和个人崇拜文风之后呢，据传中共高层明令禁挂领导人肖像，新华网甚至转载当年华国锋搞个人崇拜受批评认错的文章。那么习近平五年来专制集权之路顺风顺水，为何一朝受阻？个人崇拜急剧降温，谁是背后推手？中共高层暗流涌动，习近平及习家军地位将受到何种影响？网上流传高层政变之说，真相又是如何呢？今天我们时事大家谈就邀请专家与听众观众及网友朋友们一道来探讨这些问题。在纽约通过视频连线参加节目的是北京之春荣誉主编胡平。胡先生你好。
你好，大家好。
在北京通过电话连线参加访谈的是历史学者独立时评人张立凡先生。张先生好。
各位好，主持人好。
我们欢迎两位嘉宾，同时呢我们欢迎听众观众朋友们拨打美国之音免费热线电话参加我们节目讨论，号码是400120-0551 400120-0551。另外呢您还可以通过 VOA 卫视在 YouTube 上的网上直播收看并加入我们的现场讨论，网址是 youtube.com/VOAChina。上个星期一呢我们就在这里啊谈到了这个中共体制内外对浮夸自大和个人崇拜的这个反思和抵制之后呢，我们看到中国政坛异象连连，愈演愈烈的这个习近平集权和个人崇拜呢受到前所未有的挑战。那么我首先呢就请问纽约的胡平先生，您注意到这些异常现象了吗？
我注意到了这些异常现象，就像上周的我们的节目中，就是当天的7月9号的人民日报，那头一版居然这个标题中间居然没有习近平这三个字，这在过去都是从来没有发生过的。那么这些天呢，你看来呢，也有好几天人民日报的头版标题中没有习近平啊。那么显然，你看从人民日报这个排版可以看出呢，对习近平的个人宣传显然是在降温。那除了这个之外呢，我们也看到多少和那个董瑶琼给习近平画像泼墨有关，那就是在近些日来我们看到有些地方在拆除习近平的画像，或者拆除宣传习近平的一些这个招牌等等。那最近呢还有一些值得观察的值得注意的现象，比如央视的新闻联播，那么在前天他就居然整个联播中没有提到习近平，那么这个在过去也是应该说是从来没有见到过的。还有今天就7月16号人民日报的这个人民论坛版登了一篇短文，很值得大家注意。这篇短文的题目呢是做一股清流，文章就批评一些人习惯于搞假大空，特别会装，喜欢背台词，有的还入戏很深成了戏精，有的热衷走虚假浮夸的路子，急功近利，心浮气躁，处处浮在表面，时时想走捷径。那么尤其引人注意的是呢，这篇文章要鼓励号召大家学习彭德怀，学习张爱萍。那我们知道彭德怀、张爱萍是中共这些这个高级领导人中间少有的就是敢于犯事、敢于直言不讳的人。彭德怀不用说了，那张爱萍那就是在八九民运期间当局宣布卸任之后，那有7个上将联名上书，而为首的人就是这位张爱萍上将。那么这件事我们已经知道确有其事，并不是谣传。那么那封上书里头就讲得很清楚，是人民军队属于人民，绝对不要向人民开枪，军队不要进城等等啊。那么这个短文呢还鼓励是说真话要有骨气啊。这篇短文虽然文章很短，但是呢 你看这个，你比你打开人民网，那么它的第一页，它左边照着有一个人民当天的人民日报客户端下载，其中有一张照片就是人民日报头版，嗯，然后旁边呢有几行字，是也就是推向读者推荐重要文章，而这个做一幅清流，居然是列为推荐文章的第一个，而且用的是黑体字啊，这显然都是非常非常值得注意的现象。再有我们还注意到呢，就是现在的这个政治局常委之一，主管意识形态、主管宣传的王沪宁，这几天都没露面，而过去一段时间他露面的这个次数是相当频繁的。那么所有这些现象，我想你把联系起来看，那这中间那后面一定大有文章。
是的，那所以外界才把这个目前中国的政局称为异象连连。那我来请教北京的张立凡先生啊，据传说中共高层发通知，禁止呢在公开场合悬挂领导人肖像和突出宣扬习近平的这个宣传画。那请问您在北京看到这些变化了吗？您怎样理解近来中国风向的变化呢，张先生？
您最近气候不好，这个瓢泼大雨，这个既然是满城风雨呢，我也就不出门，所以我什么都没看到，这个什么也没看到。但是网络上现在，因为北京这儿现在也是这种各种流言满天飞嘛，当然这个网络上也有不少的网友向我提问。其实我也一直没谈什么，因为我们作为时评人，或者说作为一个像我作为一个学历史的时评人，我的习惯就是根据自己的专业可能会做一些预测，但是这个对于正在发生或者可能发生的事情，我不见得会马上下判断。这个我习惯于还是评论已经尘埃落定的这个时事，而不是呢这个爆料。所以我之所以还能在这个柜台这个美国之音这个平台上说话说到今天，可能就是因为我不爆料。当然，但是我们也看到很多异象，比如从泼墨事件开始，我们看这个央视在播出的时候突然出来一个黑影人，哎，这个大家都看到了。然后呢，我们也看到这个梁家河大学问，我们上期还提到的这个项目现在不见了。然后也出现了什么华主席认错的文章啊，也有人说是我写的，其实不是我写的，那篇文章的作者叫张凡，不是张立凡啊。但是不知道为什么这个百度搜索就搞错了，然后就搞到我头上了，也有人问我。但是确实如胡平先生所说，这个头版头条上好像接连有三次吧没有出现，就是这个按过去一直每天都出现的这个领导人。然后呢，其他的领导人好像开始在头版上开始出现。然后再有一个特点就是这个央视吧，我们看现在报道领导人过去都要加三个头衔，现在好像也没有了，就是直接讲名字然后就报道。这些呢确实是一个变化。另外我个人还看到一种变化也很有意思啊，但是我也许看错了，但是不妨大家再重新回放一下。我注意到这个最高领导人会见这个连战的镜头。那以往呢都是精神焕发，而且好像头发也染过。这次我就觉得不知道怎么的，这个两鬓呢这个有白发出现。然后就是说话的时候好像也有点心不在焉，不看着对方，好像在自说自话。偶尔也回头看一看这个客人。所以到底发生了什么事情，其实我觉得大家应该 啊，有一个综合的判断，我觉得无需我在这里多说。谢谢。
好的。那么不光是我们的嘉宾看到了种种异象，我们的许多网友也发来网评，他们也看到这个事已有点不正常。傅正辉他说呢，是谁叫停了习近平个人崇拜的宣传？谣言很多，有江派势力反扑、贪腐势力、中共党内大佬、泼墨女子，甚至有人认为呢是习近平的好友川普总统，但最大的可能是习近平自己恢复理性思考的结果。打天下后做天下，他说现在的各种消息满天飞，真假不明，请问党内真的有纠错机制能够制止领袖个人的不利于国家的行为吗？还有叫君臣，他说综合墙内外综合墙外各媒体所得到的放风消息来看，习近平应该的确因为搞极左路线威胁老人权贵家族乃至中共生存呢，受到了中共元老某种形式的逼宫，并不得不做出一定的让步，试图放软对外调门对外调门，并推锅给王沪宁来度过危机。不过元老们对此似乎并不买账，并继续放风说北戴河会议要问责习近平。不过我预计这场宫廷政变将以习近平被削权、王沪宁当替罪羊而告终，并不会使习近平下野或公开问责，因为这样会造成巨大的政治震动，不利于中共的统治。嗯，我们在接下来的这个讨论当中呢会逐步谈到这些问题。我再问胡先生一个问题，您曾经指出说习近平啊现在陷入了五年来的最大一场危机，您就是上个星期在我们这个地方讲的。那么我们看到呢，自他上台之后集权专制一路走来是顺风顺水，个人崇拜愈演愈烈，那么为什么如今突然一朝受到这个阻碍了呢？这是为什么呢？
这说来话长当初习近平这个集权专制就是借反腐败来清除异己，那么这个反腐败毕竟有他的所谓这个道义上的正当性，反对的人呢就不好发难，你不管怎么说吧，你反对反腐败看上去总是有点名不正言不顺，这是一方面。再说呢，这个当今的中共高官人人都有腐败的问题那么所以谁也不敢出头反对习近平，然后结果被当成异己给清除掉再有呢，当局这个又加强了对他们组织对包括对高官各个高官的这种控制，那也禁止妄议像这个高官据说嘛，副部长以上的干部这个三个人以上聚会都要向上面报告，那么这么一来呢，就使得尽管不满的人非常多，但是他们很难互从生气，很难那个造成这个有效的集体行动那么这里后来呢发生两件事情很重要，一个是就是今年三月全国人大修改宪法取消了任期限制那么因为修改宪法这个事情非常非常重大那么它就成了一个大家一个注意力集中的一个焦点，就像北大的校友这个樊立勤在他的五四发表那篇大字报里提到一样，这就是认为是近四十年来政治上的最大倒退，这是就是对改革开放的这个根本的否定，上纲上线上非常之高那么而由于这一点呢，习近平这个给自己一个无限期任政无限期执政开辟了道路，也造成了外部世界造成了国际社会，首先是美国他们对中共政权的这些民主国家的一种集体转向大家都当然这是也就是所谓就是亚斯诺德最后一根稻草了，它成为一个标志，成为一个转折点，使得中共突然发现他现在在国际上陷入这个四面楚歌重重包围之中再有那就是最近的这个贸易战这个贸易战一开打，那中兴事件一出，那中国人呢突然发现其实他们远远不是像他们自己所吹嘘的什么厉害了我的国那么很多问题出来了，那么这几件事加在一起就给不满习近平的人造成了一个他们有一面很好的旗帜，就反对个人崇拜，那这是改革开放的最大成就之一，不能否定。另外呢，你在外交上确实造成这么大的问题所以这个事情 避是避不开的，走不过去的。这样子一来，就使得各种反对的声音有了一种集中的表达的这个机会啊，那从而也就使得习近平呢，凭本人毫无疑问就陷入了被动，所以就出现了今天我们所看到的这些情况。
嗯。好，我来进一步请教张先生啊。中共这一次啊，这一次他宣传口风和政治风向这个变化呢，震动了海内外。那么据您观察，是什么原因触动了中共高层的这种变化呢？
我觉得是几方面的合力，就是说他既有这个国际的压力，也有国内的压力。
嗯，
国际的压力当然我们看到这次的贸易战给中国造成这个外部压力，然后呢，它也诱发了就是国内的不满，所以这个现在实际上中国的经济面临一个可能是头新的组合啊，所以这个现在呢，导致呢就是体制内和体制外这种不满情绪找到了一个宣泄的一个孔道。
嗯，
这个像，所以这个我觉得这种压力不仅是经济上的，而且更是就是最后都归结到政治上。那再加上就是说这五年来至少从经济方面这个一直是在这个下行，这个也乏善可陈，就是政绩上确实乏善可陈，然后呢，对这个舆论的镇压，然后老百姓的生活，这些呢都看不出有改善，反而有恶化的迹象。所以在这种情况下，我觉得民心思变，这个其实我们以前都讲过。
嗯。
然后呢，关心呢就是思乱，这个只有这个局面出现一定的乱局，这个想一些体制内的对手才能够有机会出手。所以我想这个可能，但是最大的这个触发点啊，我觉得一个就是这个应对贸易战到这个误判，然后呢强调这个以牙还牙，最后呢使自己陷入了被动，那么而且呢影响到这个全局，影响到中共的执政地位，这个呢，我觉得是一个，从外部到内部，就是说，外因和内因同时在起作用。当然，还有一个就是，这个民心的这种表现，我觉得也是如此。这泼墨事件虽然看起来好像是一个年轻女子，她不管什么原因，她可能有她有她的不满，但是她做了这样的宣泄。然后这样的宣泄现在可能在向全国各地蔓延，这种情况对于中共的执政地位是非常不利的。所以为了要稳住中共的这个基本盘，我觉得他们现在也不得不做出调整。所以这个可能是中共高层的变化，就是使内外的形势使得有些人开始说话了，就是这样。
好的，那么下面我们来接电话，听听我们的听众观众他们是怎么想的在这个问题上。首先是辽宁的董先生。董先生你好。
哦，您好，能听见我说话吗？
听得见，您抓紧时间，董先生。
好，谢谢。想跟那个秦永敏先生和那个刘晓波先生那个致敬。然后我想说就是中国有人为我们做过牺牲，有人为我们这种普通人的权利做过努力。然后中国不是住院的民族，然后就不耽误大家太多时间。
好的，谢谢辽宁的董先生。山东的孔先生。山东孔先生你好，请讲。
今天下午2:30左右呢，我接到了一个微信，说是8月初北戴河会议呢，所有的除了监狱里边的不要到北戴河开会呢，研究罢免习近平的问题。
嗯，
我发了之后到现在呢，现在还在微信里边挂着呢。
嗯，
这是一个。再一个呢，我是2012年首提习大帝这个概念的人，当时我就说了，我说习近平呢应该像英国女王、日本天皇那样的皇帝， 结果他弄得越来越不像话。比如说跟连战谈什么统一的问题，你跟连战谈什么呀？你应该跟蔡英文去谈。所以我感觉到啊，习近平完了。谢谢，再见。
好的，谢谢山东的孔先生。刚才山东孔先生这个给我们提供那个信息呢，实际上现在确实是就像我们刚才两位嘉宾讲的那样啊，谣言现在在中国国内呢是满天飞，你打开微信群你几乎都能看到各种各样的各类的这个传闻，不知道是真是假。这实际也反映个问题，我们下面会继续谈到这些问题啊。我再给大家读几份网评吧，我们今天网评也很多啊，我们抓紧时间。埃德温陈他说，谁能叫停习近平的个人崇拜？美中贸易战能叫停习近平的个人崇拜，美中贸易战会削减中共的外汇储备，这些外汇储备才是中共最在乎的事物。中共老人及其家族想依靠这些钱购买美国的优质资产，享受中国的特权，并享受美国的自由，他们想占尽天下好处，这叫贪婪。乔哲他说，因为前期的选择性反腐，中共内部已经无人胆敢叫停对习近平的个人崇拜，唯有习近平能叫停对习近平的个人崇拜。中国因政治开倒车，因中共政权失道寡助，使中共政权呢被全世界主流国家边缘化，习近平为了改善中国人的国际形象，不得不叫停对习近平的个人崇拜。好的，那么我们现在呢就来谈这个问题，习近平个人崇拜的急剧降温，谁是背后真正的推手？这可能是大家最为关切的问题。首先胡先生您怎么看这个问题啊？
那谁是推手现在还看不清楚，也许并没有一个明显的推手。就像刚才张立凡先生说的，这是合理的一个结果。那因为其实从这个中共他们这个政治制度来说，有时候上面他怎么样感受的压力呢？第一，你那个来自国际社会的压力，这个是他明显可感的，不像内部的事情，内部的事情他可以强压下去。那么由于层层压制，以至于最上层的人他根本就不知道有这么多人在反对他有异议，你只要感受不到压力，他就不可能做任何调整。而你国际社会的压力呢，这个是压不住的。那么尤其是如果党内还有一些有心人，他们就把这些会把这些外部的压力、国际社会的压力一五一十的天天朝你那儿送。那么你总不能向送材料的人发难，但是你看这材料本身呢，你就会感到它的一种这个它的分量。另外包括内部的不满呢，也可以通过这种方式。我们知道像大跃进期间毛泽东这个胡作非为导致的大饥荒，后来庐山会议还这个批判彭德怀，那么后来庐山会议之后，党内就没有人敢正面向毛泽东提意见了。那毛泽东到了六一二年，为什么他要做调整了呢？那就是他们其他的很多人，包括他周围的工作的人员，都不断的把各地的饥荒的实际状况，哪儿哪儿死了多少人，哪儿死了多少人，把这材料不断的给送过去啊。那么这样子呢，他作为这个毛泽东的，他也不能不感觉到这个问题的严重性。所以我觉得这次的呢，他很可能是通过这种方式，就是内部的不满，他通过这种方式，一些内部的方式转达给了习近平本人。另外呢，来自国际社会的压力，因为这个压力太大、太明显、太有戏剧性，你根本就无法无视。这个也是促成他们上边做这么一种改变的一个原因。
啊，我们再抓紧时间给大家读两条网评吧。萧萧不实，他说习近平对世界大事有认知障碍。世界的潮流肯定是民主自由宪政，可是这几年大肆宣传中国的治理模式，中国治理模式就是低人权模式，公开反对司法独立，修改任期制，反对西方体制，大开历史倒车，在国际上净说一些义和团式的气话，到处亮剑树敌，就是没有美国贸易战，中国模式也不可以持续。最后一位西河说，物极必反，这样没有什么不好，而在这个时代总会有很多人对制度焕发出智慧，这既是危机，而这必然引发冲突，冲突即缓解，缓急创造新的历史进程。好的，今天时事大家的讨论呢就到这里结束了，时间关系不能一一接听听众观众的电话以及回答网友提出的问题，我们感谢胡平、张立凡两位先生参加我们的节目。好，我是许波，下次节目再会。